Hebrews chapter 1 is where we're going to be. And the title of today's message is, And God Speaks. It really is a critical thing for us to understand this, that God speaks. When we look at all other forms of religion, generally speaking, the God of that religion doesn't speak. It doesn't speak. And if it's claimed that he does, it's through like one instant, one time, one thing. But if we understand that the God of the Bible, the God that we believe in, the very first thing that is spoken of, that is written down for us in the Bible, is that God speaks. And the whole rest of the story is God speaking and moving in people's hearts. And we believe, according to what Scripture says, He still does that today. And so the question is the same question that Jesus asked to people in His day. Jesus had this way of saying this. He would say, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, if you want to hear, if you really have a heart desire to hear from the Lord, then hear, because He is speaking. Let me give you just a little bit of context to this book, because it really is helpful to know why certain parts of the Bible were written and who they were written to, and that kind of affects how we understand Scripture. The book of Hebrews is a book that most scholars believe was penned before 70 AD. The reason for that is there was a major event that happened in the year 70 AD in Jerusalem. Basically, it was in 70 AD that the Romans went into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and scattered the Jews out of Jerusalem. Basically, from that time until I think it was 1948, when the Jews actually were able to move back into Jerusalem. From that time, it was just this very tumultuous thing. But it was in that point that the temple that we read about Jesus going in and overturning the tables, and on the day of His crucifixion, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the inner court being rent, all of that stuff was destroyed in 70 AD. And the reason that most scholars believe that Hebrews was written prior to that date is it talks a lot about the temple and doesn't mention it being destroyed, which was a pretty major event. The author of the book of Hebrews is anonymous. It doesn't begin like a lot of Paul's letters where it says, "I, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whatever, whatever." It's just left blank. A lot of scholars basically say that there's three high probabilities of who wrote it. The Apostle Paul might have wrote it. There's some people who argue for, some against. Some people argue that a guy named Barnabas wrote the book of Hebrews, and then others argue that that a guy named Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts, possibly wrote Hebrews. The point of it is we actually don't know who it was that sat down and penned the book of Hebrews. But here's what we do know. From the earliest times of the church being together and declaring these writings to be holy, that these are inspired, that these are God's words to us through an author, the book of Hebrews is included in that. And the reason is it paints this absolutely beautiful picture for us of what does it mean to be a Christian and to live out the whole rest of this book. Like, the whole rest of this book explains some stuff that it's got all these sacrifices and temples and tabernacles and holy days and all of this kind of stuff that for us as non-Jews doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us. But as we read this book, as we read Hebrews, it begins to show some of those things that we read about in the Old Testament and even things that are we read about in the Gospels. And all of a sudden we realize that all of those are things that God was using to say, there's coming a day where I'm going to be with you and I'm going to complete all of these things. Everything that we're doing back here in the left-hand side of the Bible, all of that is to point to Jesus. He's better than all of this, and all of that points to Him. So let's begin in the book of Hebrews and see what we have to learn today. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go to verse 4. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. The first thing that we need to see this morning is that in times past, God spoke. Right? We said that in the very beginning, you know, that the beginning of the Bible begins with in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the deep. And then verse 3 begins, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And there was evening and morning the first day. And the whole beginning of that is just God speaking. And God speaks creation. How is it that God speaks? Well, He spoke creation. Now, we understand this even from a scientific standpoint, that there was a point in time at which nothing was. Like nothing that we see. This the chair, even the atoms that made up this chair weren't. And from a scientific standpoint, they simply say, well, it was just this big bang, and then all of a sudden, boom, everything was. And Scripture agrees at that point. There was a point in time at which there was nothing, and then the voice of God... Think about that in this moment. Think about this, even conceptually. I think we have a hard time, because even the understanding of space and time did not exist. They just weren't. And in that moment, it was just the uncreated, ever-existing God. And in that moment, He spoke, and everything that is, was. Every atom in existence that now exists, that makes up your human body, my human body, the world in which we live, the moon that is running around Saturn right now, the gigantic diamond planet that they have now discovered, all of that stuff came into being in that instant, in that moment of God speaking. Now, why is that important for us as we think about God speaking? Why would the author of this book begin this story by emphasizing the fact that God speaks? I mean, he goes on later, I mean, right after this, he says, long ago He spoke to the fathers and in the prophets many ways. But he ties it in with Jesus, and he says he made all, through whom He made the world. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says this. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. What does that mean? The universe is huge. Like, gigantically. I don't even know if we have a word in our language to help us grasp the magnitude of how vast the world is. Okay? Here's the simplest way that we can explain this. How many of you guys have looked at the sun? It's a painful experience, right? You've looked at it. Did you know that none of you have actually ever seen the sun as it existed in that moment? You have only seen the sun 8 minutes after it existed. 8 minutes. 8 minutes. That's how far away. Like, think about, if I turn on a flashlight, how fast does it take for you to see? It's not, I turn it on, boom, there it is, right? You see it. 8 minutes later, that's where we've seen, that's how far the sun is from us. Did you know that most of the stars that you see at night are not actually stars?
They're suns.
Well, some of them are suns, and some of them are galaxies. Like, we think of our Milky, did anybody see the picture of the Milky Way that Keith got to take last year at Moose Camp? He had it on his Facebook profile. It was just beautiful. Like, you're looking across the Milky Way. Like, you've seen the picture of the Milky Way, right? Looks like a toilet bowl flushing. That's a much less glamorous way to view the galaxy. But you see the Milky Way, it's because, you know, we always view the Milky Way as this corkscrew thing. We're in it, so we're looking through it, and it just looks like this big cloud band over us, and that's the Milky Way. If you look at some of those stars, that's actually what they are, is whole galaxies. And we see those. And they're far, 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 far away. Right? Far away. And somebody's texting me right now, and that's a bad thing. As we think about, we think about those things. We did a study at the beginning of this. Back in January, we talked about this, the nature of creation, and the universe is set up in such a way that it functions. And by all logical conclusions and scientific conclusions, it shouldn't. It just shouldn't work. Like, the tolerances of gravity and electromagnetic pulls and chemistry in the universe, all of it, it just shouldn't work. And it's so diverse and creative, and even when you get down to that's looking like big, 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 but then you get down into the human body and you look inside of the human cell and you realize that, this is one of my favorite things that they've just recently discovered about the human cell. Have you ever wondered, how, probably not, you're probably not as nerdy as I am about this, but we talk about having proteins, how do proteins bind with other proteins and move from one place to another? Well, they actually have found inside of the cell a type of protein molecule that attaches to another protein molecule that looks like legs and walks along an amino acid road, basically. It's happening right now. Inside, there are proteins walking around inside your cells right now. If that doesn't freak anybody else out, but listen, that doesn't just happen. It started out as one and it hopped along and then all of a sudden it grew a second one and now it's going to start walking along. It doesn't work like that. It was. And in that sense, all of life is built up around this understanding of what we now call DNA. We have this understanding. It's this gigantic, corkscrew thing that makes the body do everything that it does, grows your hair the way that it does, makes you, you know, have particular allergies the way that you do, or be the height that you are, or have a predisposition towards loving bacon or something. I mean, all of those things. I'm saying it's a genetic thing. That's what I'm saying. All of those things, the Bible says God spoke into being. And so as we look at that, and we look across, I mean, I look across the landscape of this small pool, and I don't see anybody the same. I don't see anybody looking the same. You know, I mean, none of us. His creative nature. And so we look back at the Scriptures, and it says, "For since the creation of the world, since the first human eyeball looked at what God made, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, God is huge. God is as active on the edge of the universe as He is inside of my heart. He is intimately aware of what is going on where light has yet to reach since the dawn of time, as He is intimately inside of me. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen." There is a reason that throughout humanity, we look at creation and are in awe of it in such a way that so many civilizations have made creation or aspects of creation their God. They've been in awe of it. There's a reason that the Egyptians were in awe of the sun. Because it's, you look at it and it blinds you, and you know that it is hot, and you know that it makes things grow, and it is this powerful thing. And all of that stuff was created by God to show us character aspects about God. His faithfulness, His regularness, His power, His invisible attributes, His invisible qualities, His eternal power, divine nature, all of that stuff was made by Him. That's the first thing. He spoke creation. And so as we see the aurora borealis, as we see a beautiful sunrise, as we see the rush of water moving down a mighty river, as we watch a child grow from an infant to an adult, we are in awe of those invisible qualities. You know, a lot of Christians become very, very scared of science. But this, it is a dangerous element, because science can become your God. It can become your religion. So much so, I read an interesting article. What's the dude's name? African American scientist has a show on television. What's the guy's name? I can't remember his name now. Anyways, there's a lot of other like secular atheists that are now very upset with this guy, because he basically said to them, science is better than your field of study. So philosophy, history, all of that stuff doesn't matter. Science is it. That's it. And of course, all the philosophers and all those things, they were a little bit upset about that. Why? Because if you're not careful, science becomes your God. But here's the thing that I have learned as I've studied and read about the creation and the awe-inspiring, like, this stuff should not work, yet it does. It shows me the invisible qualities of our God. It causes me to be absolutely in awe of Him. Secondly, it says that He spoke to the forefathers. He spoke to the forefathers. Now He spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Adam. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to David, to Solomon. He spoke to these men. And this is a pretty distinct thing about when you look at books that claim to be holy scriptures, generally speaking, it's God speaking to one guy. And whatever this God said to this one guy doesn't agree with what anybody else said. Right? But if a little bit later on after church, if all of us decided, hey, let's go over to somebody's house and watch a movie. I mean, we're watching a movie, right? It's not life or death here. What movie are we going to watch? Well, generally speaking, you might have like one person's like, I think we ought to watch this, and everybody else is like, whatever, you know. But more than likely, you're going to be like, no, I feel like an action movie, man. We need to have stuff blowing up. And the ladies are like, no, let's have a romantic comedy, you know. And then, you know, the teachers in the room are like, I think we should watch a documentary, you know. I mean, that's what they're going to be, you know, that's what you're going to be wrestling with. And it's over something that doesn't matter, right? Like, this is just, what are we going to watch this afternoon? Yet here we have God speaking to all of these men, that many of them didn't live in the same lifetime as each other, and the things that God spoke to them all line up and continue on. And he spoke to these men in their culture, in their world. And he told them to do things that just didn't make sense at the time. But they walked in faith as they took their lives into their hands and said, okay, God, I hear you, and I'm going to do what you say. Even though it doesn't make sense. I mean, think about Noah. Like, God says, build an ark big enough to fit all the animals in the world in. Or at least two of them. Right? Okay. 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. Do you understand, when you actually read the story of Noah, God speaks to Noah, and then God does not speak to Noah again until Noah finishes the boat. I have to imagine that, like, year 50, Noah's sitting there going, did I hear God right? Did he say make a latte? You know, what? Maybe I missed God at some point in time here, right? And keep going. God spoke to Abraham and said, leave your family and the land in which you live and go to a land that I'm not even going to tell you where it is. Just go until I tell you here. That was like a death sentence for most people in the ancient world. You didn't travel like that because you're going to run across hostile people and all these things. But they heard God's voice and they said, okay, I'm going to go. And they modeled for us what we're going to read later on in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, faith. They heard God's voice. It didn't make sense, but they said, okay, Lord, even if it seems scary, even if it seems hard, you said so, I'm going to go. He spoke to the fathers, and he also spoke through the prophets. Now, we've got a lot of scripture is dedicated towards God speaking to prophets. And there's instances of God speaking to people in a prophetic way, like in Judges, and God also speaks to David in prophetic ways. But we have guys like Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you know, and then these little prophet guys, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, all those guys. It's God speaking to them about specific things that were going on in their world. And the honest truth is, God told them to do some strange stuff to communicate what he was doing. Like, God told Jeremiah to put an ox yoke on himself, like chain it to himself, and to walk into the king's courtroom and say, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't follow God, and walk around inside there with this thing. Like, that just kind of seems odd, right? For us reading it, how odd do you think it felt for Jeremiah to be doing that, you know? And there's weirder stuff than that, and if you want to get into those, read them. And the point is this. He says here, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways. Here's the point of this. The reason that we have all of this Old Testament stuff, of God speaking to these men, these what we call the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, those guys, and then these prophets, is God was saying, listen, listen, I've got something you need to know, and I'm going to use as many people in as many ways and as many times as it takes for you to hear what I have to say. And you know the honest truth is? A lot of people didn't hear. A lot of people didn't listen. That's basically the story of the Old Testament. One of the passages that gets thrown around so much about like missions or us being like on fire for Jesus or sharing our faith is the call of Isaiah. Do you remember Isaiah's response? God says, "Who will go for us and who will we send?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." Right? Like it's challenge call for us as believers. "Here am I, God, send me. Do you know what God says to him right next? "I'm going to send you to a people that won't listen to what you say and won't do what you tell them to do." That doesn't make it on our t-shirts, generally speaking. "Here am I, send me to a place where people aren't going to listen and they're not going to do what God says." But God spoke, and he spoke all of these. He spoke creation into existence so we would see the magnitude and splendor and awe of God. He spoke to these fathers who would live lives of faith. He spoke to these prophets who would declare, "This is what righteousness is. This is what happens when you don't follow righteousness. Now you choose. You choose what you're going to do." He did all of those things because he was not going to be done. He was going to continue to speak. God in these days speaks. And he says specifically, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. The Gospel of John says it this way. It says that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. That Jesus literally is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, how does that exactly work? He was with, and he was. Here we have this beautiful picture of what we call the Trinity. This aspect of the divine nature that we still just don't understand. But he says here, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. And then it says some things about him. He says that he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Colossians says it this way. He says that all things were made by him and for him. You were made by Jesus, for Jesus. All things. He became heir of all things. Heir of all things through whom he made the world. And he is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the radiance of his glory. The exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In these last days, God speaks in his Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Again, here am I, send me. I will send you to a people who will not listen and will not do what you say. And he says here, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. The one who made the Roman soldier who nailed Jesus' hands to the cross was nailing the hands that made him. The ones who were crying out in that moment, crucify him were yelling with vocal cords fashioned by and made for Jesus. Do you understand why when we talk about sin as rebellion against God, all sin is being done by us. And we are using muscles and brain cells and vocal cords and time that was all made by Christ for Christ to defame His name. Do you understand why sinfulness is so heinous before God? He spoke in Jesus. Mark 9:7 says, "Then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice came out of heaven." And God spoke in that moment and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." We are called to hear God's voice through the lens of Jesus. He's the exact representation of God. In fact, later on in John, he says, or in John 1, he's going to say, "No one has ever seen God at any time. But Jesus, the only begotten of God, He has explained Him." Do you want to know what God's saying? Do you want to know what God's like? Do you want to know what God's character is about? Look at Jesus. He tells us. He speaks. But it's not simply that He has stopped with Jesus. He speaks by the Holy Spirit. He speaks by the Holy Spirit. John 14, 25 and 26 says this, "All of this I have spoken while with you." This is Jesus speaking. "All of this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said." This is why the third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, when it says that He seals us, when we are saved, when we are bought by Christ, by His death, our rebellion, using the things that God gave us, that He made in us, that we use as to rebel against God, when He saves us by His sacrifice, He seals us with the Holy Spirit. That is this constant reminder to us of what it is that He has done, but what it is that He is continuing to do in our lives. Hear this. When Scripture says, or when we talk about God loves you, this is what Scripture means by that. God loves you just as you are. In other words, you don't have to change anything about yourself to warrant God's love for you. But He loves you too much to let you stay that way. God loves you just as you are. But He loves you too much to let you simply stay there. And so God speaks to you as a believer, as a Christian, through the Holy Spirit that He covers you with, that He seals you with. And He teaches you all things and will remind you of everything that is said to you. The Scriptures say that the Holy Spirit of God convicts us of sin, shows us when we are using our vocal cords to rebel against Him that He made for us, when we are using our muscles to carry gossip from one place to another, when we are using our mind to defile the beauty of another person or the image of God or having prideful thoughts or all of those things. The Holy Spirit reminds us of those, convicts us of sin, shows us the right thing to do. And then as we were talking about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, He reminds us that there's a day coming. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. That there's a day coming where everything that is secret in my life, everything that I think nobody knows about. Nobody knows about the thoughts that are in my mind. Nobody knows about the attitude that's in my heart. Nobody knows what I did late afternoon on that Thursday when nobody was around. Nobody knows that stuff. There is a day coming where all of that is made known. All of it. And it's just made plain before everything. And the Holy Spirit of God convicts us of that and reminds us that there's a day of judgment, a day of reckoning. And He speaks. Don't miss that. The Holy Spirit speaks. But he doesn't stop there. In these last days, God speaks, and he also uses the church. He uses the church. Acts 1:8 says this. Jesus tells them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes." Right? He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Has there ever been a person that's ever gotten up on a jury stand, on a witness stand at a trial, and just sat there and not said nothing, and still classified as a witness? No. If you're a witness in a trial, your job is to speak. And your job is to do this. Your job is simply to declare what you have seen, what you know, what you have experienced. And so, friends, our job is to declare to this world, listen, my vocal cords used to defame the name of Christ. I did that in simple, stupid ways by taking his name in vain with these vocal cords. I did that in ways by berating and belligerent and saying cruel things against people who were made in God's image. I used the vocal cords that God made for him, by him, for his glory. I used those to rebel against God. And in his grace, in his love, in his mercy, he didn't obliterate me. He didn't turn me into a pile of ash. No, he saved me by his death, adopted me as a son, and now gives me the opportunity to share this hope that I have. That's what it means to be a witness. And he says we're to do it in Jerusalem, where they were living, in Samaria, the next community over, in Judea, the next community over, in Samaria, another people group. In fact, this passage right here is profound because racial tension is not dead in our world. It's still very much present. Racism is a problem. Jesus' command was, he said, you know that race of people that you don't like? Go tell them the hope of Jesus. Or that race of people that don't like you? Go tell them the hope of Jesus. That's what he meant when he said, you'll be my witnesses in Samaria. And then also to the uttermost part of the earth. This is his command. As we scatter across this summer, you go, what am I going to do this summer? Like, you're going to get back to school next year if you're not graduating. If you go to college, they're probably not going to ask you, tell me, or write an essay about what you did over the summer. But if you're in regular school, that might be the beginning thing that they do. I hope you'll be able to say, I shared the glory of Christ all over, everywhere I went this summer. That's my hope and my prayer for you. So God speaks. Awesome. What's he saying? God is showing his glory. He's showing his glory. He says very simply, through Jesus, he is the radiance of his glory. When we think about the glory of God, I got a message from a dear sister in Christ who had the opportunity to lead to the Lord. And this letter was just so absolutely encouraging. Because this was an individual that just, I mean, her life was utter rebellion against God. I mean, every aspect of her life was as if she was just looking at God and spitting in his face. And this letter was basically her just saying, let me tell you about God's faithfulness and what he is doing to transform me. And as I read that, and I see that in her life, you know what it does in me? It goes, you know what? Christ has done the same work in me. It's the radiance of his glory. And it becomes contagious. It says, he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. We look to Jesus to know what God's about and to know what we're to be about. The second thing that he'll sustain you, is that... Oh, no, that is... That was the second one. He will sustain you. Look at this. This really kind of got me this week. He's the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. He upholds all things. Do you know what? Let me just make that very practical. My heart is beating right now because Jesus said so. Jesus, in His creation, in this moment, this creation that He made by Him, for Him, speaks and says, let Chris Kopp's heart beat now. 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 And He's doing the same thing for you. He's telling that a little amino acid chain to walk inside of your cell right now. A couple trillion of them, actually, right now. That's what He's doing. Why is that important? Why is it important that I understand that He upholds all things by the word of His power? It's because of this. When things happen that I don't want to happen, I would rather my life have gone on without this thing happening. I had that this week. We just go, God, why does this happen? Why does this happen to good people? Why do we see this going? Why do we see this tragedy? Why, God, why? I know the end of the story. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that He upholds all things by the word of His power. My heart is safe because I can hear the One who speaks, the One who made it, the One who formed it and fashioned it. He sustains you even in those dark times. Let me just make a quick caveat. There is a satanic message that's being proclaimed in a lot of Christian circles. And it's generally classified as a prosperity gospel. Let me just make it very simple for you. This, and you will hear this a lot. Listen, if you follow God, life gets better. If that was the case, we would not have most of the New Testament. Because most of the New Testament was written to people suffering and being persecuted. Why? Because life is exceedingly hard. But do you know what the message over and over and over again was? He upholds all things by the word of His power. He knows the end of the story. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And He says, He concludes it with this. He concludes this whole thing about God speaking with this. That we have a hope of inheritance in heaven. How do we know that? Because after he's made the world, He's sustained it, He's reflected God's glory, He's represented His nature, upholded all things by the word of His power, when He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Do you know what He did when He sat down? He lived and lives His last words on the cross. It's finished. There's no more work to be done. There is no more work for the purification of sin. I'm enough. I'm enough. If you leave Galena after having attended our church, if there is one thing that I would have you like just know, is that religion is not going to save you. Jesus is. Religion, being religious, is not going to save you. Jesus is. He's the one that's done purification of sin. He's the one that's paid the debt for my rebellion against God and your rebellion against God. My question would be this for you this morning. Whether you know Him this way or not, do you have ears to hear? Do you hear God's voice speaking to you this morning? And saying, listen, I told it to the prophets. I told it in creation. I told it to the fathers. I told it to the prophets. I revealed it and continue to speak it in Christ. I've given the Holy Spirit. And here's the church. I'm enough. I'm sufficient. Put your faith in me. That's the message of the gospel. And that's what he begins the book of Hebrews with. My prayer for you is that you would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to you, church. Let's pray together. Father God, it is in Jesus' name that we do come and we pray. Father, right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking into hearts. God, there are some people here that right now, in this moment, their life is still lived in rebellion against you. And there's a war going on because they're looking and saying, well, I'm really not that bad of a person. But Father, give us the eyes to see that all things, everything about us was made by you and for you. And anytime we use what was made for you for a purpose it was not made for, we are in rebellion against you. And that rebellion cost your Son his life. Speak to us now, Father. And draw those who are lost to you. Father, I pray that those who have been found by you and have been saved, I pray, God, that you would give us continually ears to hear that you are still speaking, that we are still not yet what you made us to be. But God, give us a heart and a longing to grow in the knowledge of Christ and to be your witnesses in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. Speak, God, and let your people hear. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.